Just after 1 o'clock on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. Another week, another edition of Smith and Jones on a Monday afternoon. Hopefully, if you're in the greater Toronto area, you've dug out from yet another dumping. Not quite as big as the two or more that we had last week, but listen, it's starting to warm up because it's already starting to melt, and plus temperatures the rest of the week. So hopefully, spring around the corner. I know that will make my man Jonesy quite happy. And certainly quite happy are, well, Toronto Maple Leaf fans and Toronto Raptor fans. Certainly the Leafs continue to roll, and you just heard a lot about the Leafies last hour on Hockey Central. Another successful weekend for them, and Austin Matthews continues to tear up the NHL. And certainly the Toronto Raptors, if you're a basketball fan, have been quite the story. Well, heck, we could say they've been a story all season, considering everything they've been through, from having to relocate down to Tampa, then the 2-8 start. That's a story for all the wrong reasons. But the way this club has now turned it around, second hottest team in the Eastern Conference over the last 20 games, a 4-game winning streak now above 500 for the first time this season, and a very impressive win last night over the Philadelphia 76ers, whom they will see again tomorrow. As the Raptors play two straight against Philly, DeAndre Bembry from the Raptors is going to join us in about 5-7 minutes time, and then later on this hour, former Raptor Alvin Williams as well. But Jonesy, what a ball game last night, and the Raptors proving that they can find different ways to win, even without Kyle Lowry, even against the potential MVP this season, a guy coming off a 50-point game. They sure look pretty good playing small against Joel Embiid and the Sixers.
I thought they did a wonderful job with the schemes, Eric. And when you think about it, they kind of, you know, it was kind of cat and mouse. They started small, and Embiid started to get going. It was like, okay, enough. That's not working. Let's change course. I thought, you know, Nick Nurse did a good job, and you know, credit his defensive coordinator, his defensive coach, Adrian Griffin, for developing the schemes. And it looked to me like a lot of the same schemes, just without Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka. And Embiid had to work. And, you know, Embiid and Simmons got theirs. And then for the most part, nobody else really got going. And I thought the Raptors did a good job of pushing the pace, holding Philly down, and playing in spurts. Like, they did a good job of a couple of major runs in the game. We're not gonna, you know, it's like the marathon. We're not gonna beat this guy over the long haul without pushing him a little bit. And I thought the Raptors, their game plan was brilliant, and I thought the execution was equally as impressive.
Jonesy, I was listening a little bit earlier today to Good Show, and one of the things JD and Ben were discussing, something you and I have discussed quite a bit over the course of more than last week, probably almost a month now. The conversation is the same, but there's a different angle on it now, at least from my perspective, my opinion. When we first started talking about, are the Raptors buyers, are they sellers, will they stand pat, will they just look ahead to the offseason, to next year? Could Lowry be on the market? Could Powell be on the market? And the guys were discussing, they had Brian Windhorst on from ESPN. The possibility of trading Kyle. And listen, again, let's be clear, again, from my perspective, I'm not advocating for a trade. I think you're better with Kyle Lowry. I'd like to go forward with Kyle Lowry, period. But it does set up the interesting dynamic of, are you a buyer? Are you a seller? Are you a team that is looking at it now saying, we're 16-15 and we're not really scared of anybody in the Eastern Conference, so just think of the damage that we could do and what damage could be done to us if we were to trade them, especially if we were to trade them to an Eastern Conference team and not send them out west, if we're even thinking about dealing them. And then that same conversation can be had with Norm Powell. And I think I speak on your behalf, or at least speak or represent what you've said to me many times over the years we've worked together. Better to work with what you have and what you know than to go on the what-if of something else. And the what-if being, if you were to trade a Norm Powell, and depending on what comes back or depending on what you think you might get in the offseason, is it going to be better than what you have right now in Norm Powell, as opposed to keeping Norm, committing to Norm, signing Norm, and saying, no, we're rolling with this dude, and we anticipate or expect that he's going to get us 15, 18, 20 every night, and that's better than anything else that we could go out and get.
I'm with you. It's always, to me, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And, okay, look at the East. Who's the best team in the East? East? Yeah, just play along with me here. Play along. Who's the best team in the East right now?
I assume you're saying record-wise, or are you saying just the best team, period?
Just in general right now.
I'd say the Brooklyn.
Give me two
Nets.
Or three.
Brooklyn, okay. Brooklyn, and Philly.
And the Raptors have beaten both of them recently. Mind right. you, only the regular season. It's not a seven-game playoff series, but
and people
you've
will
done
say that,
that
Durant didn't play a good chunk of that game, but the Raptors were missing pieces too.
Kyle Lowry didn't play yesterday. Who was Philly missing? They had everybody there.
Yep.
They had Embiid and Simmons there, that's what I know, and Tobias Harris and Danny Green. So and again, as much as people look at Brooklyn and Philadelphia and say, well, they're a cut above in the East, you never know. Never, Rudy Tomjanovich said it when they were the sixth seed, the Houston Rockets, never underestimate the heart of a champion. And you have Kyle and Fred and Pascal Norm who know what it's like to hold a trophy and played all the way through. And OG who was right there, he couldn't play. But you've got a Nick Nurse. Don't throw that out the window. So as much as people say, you know, especially they were saying 2-3 weeks ago, well, you know, the Raptors, it's time. And I'm always of that mindset too. You've heard me use the line. You buy the house, you pay the mortgage. At some point you're going to slip, but you don't willingly slip. It happens because of all the other circumstances. And right now the Raptors are in the mix as much as anybody else. We're only halfway through the season and there's still time to improve. So I'm with you. I'm not making any of those drastic moves. If there might be a, you know, a guy at the end of the roster or, you know, one of your kind of on the cusp rotation players that might help you, great. And as George Karl told us weeks ago, Masai and Bobby by association, they're not afraid to make those bold deals. I mean, people saying to us now, the fans and people on Twitter, wow, you know who'd look good in a Raptor uniform right now? At JV. And as we said, and we talked about with Tim Bontemps, they got a ring. I know there's no JV, but you got a title. So you find another way to do it, and you still have five or six guys that know what it's about, and you go forward with that.
I hear you. And I think that maybe what we've seen thus far this season, and I'll throw our next guest into the equation as well. And again, he's going to join us in a couple of minutes, DeAndre Bembry. Maybe it's a case of it's better tweaking along the way, but knowing that you've got a core in place. You already know you got three major core pieces locked up, Jonesy. As Bontemps said, and you're looking pretty good when you can say, all right, we're rolling forward for at least the next 3, 4, 5 years with Van Vliet, Siakam, and Anobi. If you were to have a Norm Powell into that mix with Chris Boucher at least sticking around for a couple more years, chemistry and familiarity with a core group of guys, and then can you add to that, sprinkle in pieces along the way with the right plugins, and is that good enough? Listen, if you have the opportunity to make a big splash and you've got an opportunity to go and acquire a superstar, not that that happens all the time, but if that window opens again, like that opportunity arose for a Kawhi Leonard deal, and sure it cost you, you know, a pretty penny in terms of DeRozan and Pirtle going the other way, then yeah, you've got to know and be ready to and be willing to strike. But those guys, to sound cliche about it, aren't dangling around on trees and readily available. Even when you think they might be, then they go and sign. Because we thought there was going to be a lot of fruit right. dangling and hanging for next summer, and most of it's already been picked clean from the tree. So you might be better served keeping the core you've got and adding, you know, and I don't mean this in a negative or derogatory way, sort of secondary pieces as opposed
yes.
to the big splashes.
Eric, we've always talked about this, and I look at the Raptors and building a championship the same way the 2003 Pistons did. You have a lot of really good players. Like when you looked at that team with Billups and Hamilton and Prince and Ben Wallace, and like they traded for Rasheed Wallace, and like you look at the team and you think, well, that's a good team. Well, who's the superstar? I don't think there is one, but that's a really good team. And Toronto, they went all that way, and then they finally made a move and got a guy like Kawhi Leonard to help put them over the top. But it's not like they weren't a good team. And it's not like they weren't in the playoffs. And I look at this team now the same way. You've got the core of a championship team. And now guys are starting to come into their own. Terrence Davis is in his second year. Our next guest, DeAndre Bembry. I've been impressed with the way his play has been, his demeanor. His disposition on the court, his versatility. Aaron Baines has fallen into his role now. And you go forward with that. And you know what? Let's take our chances there.
Yeah, I think you and I are in lockstep with that. The Toronto Raptors getting set for their next game tomorrow against the Philadelphia 76ers and then playing on the back-to-back against Miami on Wednesday. So another busy week for the Raptors coming up. And here we are on February 22nd. The schedule, at least the first half of the schedule, is supposed to end a little more than a week from now on March 4th with the All-Star break coming up as well. And we still don't have a second half of the schedule. I don't know when the league, Jonesy, is going to release that, but it would be nice to know what's happening with this team, let alone every other team, for the duration of the season as we look towards the postseason, the offseason, and the playoffs and everything else. But again, we still don't have that schedule available. But I like the fact that we've seen the league kind of go in the direction. And it was initially done, Jonesy, to try and cut down on travel in the pandemic. But I like the way that the league has done this with these sort of little mini series within a season by playing two games against the same opponent, either back-to-back games or a couple of games, you know, within a week. And I wonder if the league looks to do that when life in the world is normal again, when we're back to an 82-game season, if this is something that the league could explore to sort of create rivalries and more competitiveness over the course of the year. And then, hey, cutting down on travel for the players, which is wear and tear on the players, which is also cost for the teams, etc. This, to me, is something that's been an experiment that could transfer into, as I say, the regular world when we're back to normal again.
It could. It could. It cuts down. And, I mean, the only issue is... And it creates somewhat of an intrigue for the playoffs going forward is you play these two games against Philly. You don't know when you're going to see them again, as opposed to having them kind of one here and then one a couple months from now. It's bang, bang, and this is the team you get, as opposed to a team that's had time to improve, change, evolve when you see them the next time. That being said, as you mentioned, for the wear and tear and the safety and all the other stuff, I can see this. I can see this. And it and really cuts down on the travel. What do we always say about baseball? You know, you go to a city for 3 or 4 days. You know, people roll into the Rogers Center to play the Blue Jays on a Thursday night for a weekend series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're here for a few nights. So I don't mind that either. I don't mind that you have these two games back to back. And listen, Eric, the Raptors have done really well in these split series, right? They have not lost two in a row. They've swept a couple times and they've split them all. And this will be at least another split with Philadelphia, but they've been pretty good in not losing two in a row.
They absolutely have, Jonesy. They absolutely have. And listen, obviously, you know, Captain Obvious here, we already know they're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna walk away with a couple losses in this one after they get the win last night. At the very least, they've got the split in this one already earned. But certainly, you would love to see them continue to roll. And hey, I'm getting greedy here. Maybe pick up another win over Philadelphia, because now that they're above 500, Jonesy, I don't want to see them slip below again. And as I noted off the top of the show, it's feeling good right now, and it has for a few years now. Like, I'm not here to rain on anybody's parade, as I mentioned, the championship parade. The Leafs maybe haven't lived up to the same hype and expectations that perhaps has been around them in the last couple of years, especially since the acquisition of Tavares and you know, putting him on this team with Nylander, of course, with Matthews, etc. But they've still been a pretty damn good team. And now they're even better this year. At least they look to be even better this year. And the expectations are a little bit higher for the fan base. And then you start thinking about the offseason that the Blue Jays had and the expectations coming off making the playoffs last year. You know, albeit it was a short-lived postseason for them, they were in there. And it started to rekindle that 2015, 2016 for the Jays after a few down years. Suddenly you start looking at this and thinking, all right, the Raptors on an uptick and still kind of in that championship glow from a couple of seasons ago. The Leafs playing well. The Jays are starting with pitchers and catchers and spring training beginning and everything. It's a good time, in spite of all the crap around us in the world. It's a good time to be a sports fan. And there have been many years, arguably many decades in the past, where you couldn't say that about sports in Toronto. Sports in Toronto might have had one good team, maybe. But to have all of them potentially good at the same time, it's definitely a good feeling and a good time. I mean, the only terrible thing about it is nobody can watch it in person because only one team's actually playing in town and they're not, you know, having fans, and the other two are playing south of the border. But still, it's good to be a fan right now of the teams that all seem to be collectively rising at the same time.
Yeah, it is. It is good, and you know, as you said, the only bad thing is fans can't be in the stands to watch. And I mean, that being said, Eric, who knows when we're going to get a chance to have fans in the stands to watch again? Our world has really changed from that sense, and you know, the best thing to do is just kind of hang where you are and watch and be a fan you know, hope that things open up. It is a tough time. I mean, even for us, and we still get to do the games, but I thought about Ryan Saunders being fired yesterday and, you know, this whole thing with, you know, Chris Finch, and Chris Finch was with the Raptors and we never got to have a person reaction with the guy, you know? And I think you mentioned that the other day when we were just sitting around killing time before the game. Trade deadline could come around, guys could get traded, and we may never have another kind of face-to-face, in-person interaction with them. Some guys might come through Toronto and play for the team, and we never get that. Has, you know, if the trade market goes, have some guys that have been beloved and revered Raptors played their last game in Toronto and we didn't see it? Like, we didn't know it was the last game last February or whatever. It's crazy stuff to think about it in that way, Eric. But you know, the good thing is, you know, for the most part, if you wear your mask, stay healthy, and, you know, try to, you know, keep the spread of the virus contained, maybe one day we can have it back going forward.
Jonesy, you mentioned, and I should have said something off the top as well. You know what? Why don't we take a quick break here? And I'm going to ask you about this when we come back, because we're still trying to track down DeAndre Bembry. You know, maybe he was busy getting set for practice earlier today, or coming out of practice and getting set for the game tomorrow. But again, we're trying to track down DeAndre Bembry. We'll find him in a second. But when we come back, I want to ask you about the Chris Finch situation. And congratulations to Coach Finch, now the new head coach of Minnesota. But it is kind of a, I don't know if it's bizarre, but it's definitely a unique story, unique situation. We'll discuss that when we continue on Smith & Jones on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome back to Smith & Jones. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. DeAndre Bembry joining us in just a couple of moments here. He's just giving us a quick call back as the Raptors get set for the Philadelphia 76ers tomorrow. Jonesy, I just wanted to put a bow on that conversation that we had right before break. It is an interesting situation with Chris Finch being hired. I mean, to fire Ryan Saunders on the same night, almost within the same breath that you announced the hiring of not an interim coach, but a full-time coach on a multi-year deal who's a current assistant coach on another team that just completed a game, and he was also the halftime interview on the broadcast of that game. It's a bizarre situation, is it not?
Yeah, it's crazy. All I can think of is the Timberwolves had their man. They wanted him. There's, some people know, there's a history there with Chris, and, you know, the current management team in Minnesota, head of the management team in Minnesota. So, you know what a guy can do. You have faith and belief in him, and he's your guy. And it's not, let's waste time and kind of, you know, look around for something we know we might not buy. That's what I want. I'm buying it. There it is. Let's go.
Well, I guess. I still think it's a little bit weird.
I mean, I think it's a little. The circumstances are weird. I agree with you. The circumstances are unique, different, you know, weird. But, you know, it is the way the league operates. Guys, you know, go from one job to another. I mean, usually there's a little bit of lag time in between, but we're in the middle of a season. It's a different season, so away we go.
Yeah, I guess just the part that I find, and listen, I'm not naive. We've been doing this a heck of a long time. It's for the same reason we have this conversation every year around free agent time, whether it's July 1st, July 10th, whatever the hell the date may be, when free agency doesn't open until midnight, and suddenly a guy signs at 12:01. It's like, oh, how did you negotiate a multi-year, $150 million contract in 60 seconds? Well, I would say you've been having conversations since before it started. So obviously conversations were going on. But so I'm not going to sit here and say it's collusion. I think everybody's kind of hip to the game. They know what's going on. But it is bizarre, again, to have a game going on that a coach is involved in, and then literally mere hours later, he's announced as a, it'd be bad enough as an interim, just sort of like, the guise of, well, we were scrambling at the last minute and we decided this is a guy we know, so we asked him and he said yes. You've negotiated a multi-year deal and he's your new head guy. That's a little bit strange, which leads me to question or wonder, not that the Raptors obviously didn't know, they would have had to give their permission, but I wonder if there is something else coming, whether it's financial or whether it's a pick, whether there could be compensation coming to the Raptors or not. I know it's something that's been speculated, but I haven't seen anybody officially confirm that yet or not. And conversations I've had, nobody has seemed to know the official answer to that, if the Raptors would actually end up getting anything from Minnesota for this deal.
Interesting. And it happens sometimes. And especially as you say, mid-season like this, midstream, maybe there is something in there in a compensatory sense for the Raptors. But it's also created a hole in their coaching staff, right? And that's the next domino that Nick Nurse, Bobby Webster, Masai Ujiri, that's the next thing that they have to do in terms of backfilling. They've got many capable people leading a G League team, but for now, those people are occupied with the developmental process of the organization. So it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward.
What do you think they will do? Because as you just note, the G League portion of the conversation is the most important one. However, the bubble's only going on for another two and a half weeks, I don't believe. So you certainly have those options available to you, that whether it's bringing Patrick Mutombo, the head coach of 905, back to the main club, at least for the duration of the season, to allow you to get into the offseason where you can then properly address it. Or do you, look to tab and kind of tap on the shoulder his assistant in Jama Malalela and bring him back up again in 2 weeks, let them finish. Because here's another wrinkle to the whole thing, too, as well, Jonesy. At least for the last few games, and I believe if he's not expected back tomorrow, it may be in time for Wednesday, but it might be tomorrow. Sergio Scariolo's been gone from the team as well because he's been back overseas leading the Spanish national team through their various FIBA qualifiers and whatnot as well. So you've already been down Sergio. Now you've lost Finch. So you're not replacing Finch quite yet, awaiting for Sergio back. There's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to have to pick up the slack, at least for the next couple of weeks until the 905 season ends and the G League bubble is over.
Yeah, it's interesting. And Nick has a pretty wide, vast and expansive coaching circle. I mean, he's coached in so many different places and been – with so many great minds and coaching minds that he respects, and he brings them in and the Raptors just keep going. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Nick knew somebody else and ready to tap them on the shoulder, maybe somebody else from, the Houston chain or the Houston days, or, a guy like Nate Bjorkgren, who he coached against in the D League and saw that, I'm going head to head with this guy, but he knows what he's doing. It'd be nice to do it at the next level together. So, that one, I think I leave to the management team. Nick is pretty good. I mean, he works really hard. They all work really hard. And I guess the only thing I would worry about is taking on the extra workload and having it take its toll on them, not now, but later on. And if it's only a couple weeks, maybe you wait for your G League team to finish in their bubble and bring those people back, and then you've got more minds, because there's a few good names, there's a few good minds down there, again, teaching basketball to guys that you're hoping will develop into players that'll help the big club.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I mean, listen, just because the season is ending doesn't mean that their training and the honing of their skills and whatnot is going to end. To your point, Jonesy, you still want your coaches working with those guys in the offseason, knowing full well that it's going to be a much longer offseason than you know would normally happen in a regular season, a regular time. All right, I'm pulling back the curtain for you folks just to be completely transparent and honest with you. As I said, we were scheduled to have DeAndre Bembry off the top of the show. He was scheduled to join us about 15, 20 minutes ago, and he actually wanted to do this. We got word from Raptors Media Relations that DeAndre was looking to do a little bit more media and wants to get involved in some stuff. Maybe he's looking to, you know, 10, 15 years from now when the career is over. He said he wanted to do more interviews, and he actually has already said he'd love to make this into a regular thing and perhaps join us on a weekly basis or a bi-weekly basis. So it might be something that we set up as a regular routine here on Smith & Jones. But whether it was practice schedule or otherwise, we weren't able to track him down until a few minutes ago. And when he finally called in, he said his battery was about to die. So he was trying to track down another phone to see if he could get us on another phone to call into us. And now as we try to reach him, it's going to voicemail. So I have a feeling we're going to try and get DeAndre Bembry on the phone either tomorrow or Wednesday or at some point later on this week. Because we just aren't able to hook up with him right now, and we don't want to have to bump our other guest, who's already been patient and accommodating, in former Raptor Alvin Williams, one of our regulars. So we're going to take the break right now, and we're going to come back with Alvin, and we will hook up with DeAndre at some point this week. And listen, as much as we'd love to have him on the air, his job is the Raptors, not this. So we'll juke and jive and kind of shift accordingly and hope to hook up with DeAndre later in the week.
It's a Philly thing. Well, I have to ask Alvin, like, you know, if you're playing in the schoolyard, is it make it, take it? When there's an argument, you know, you shoot for it. So, and DeAndre, and like, Alvin's giving him no love as a Villanova guy and DeAndre being a St. Joe's guy. Like, there's...
That's true.
That's like an Argo helping a Ticat or an Oiler helping a Calgary Flame or, like, it just... Leafs and Canadians, like Hatfields and McCoys. That ain't happening, so... Sorry, DeAndre. You got to wait on the sideline.
Yeah. We'll hook up with DeAndre another day. We're coming back with Alvin Williams on Smith & Jones on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Back on Smith & Jones, Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. Writer's block coming up at the top of the hour. And then, of course, later on today, Tim and Sid as well. We're going to be joined by Alvin Williams in a couple of minutes' time. But before we get to Al, I wanted to mention that we're giving you the chance to be a part of the Rogers Hometown Hockey Viewing Party this Saturday. Tune in to Hockey Central on Thursday for your chance to win. You can also enter for the chance to win in the Rogers Hometown Hockey section of the Sportsnet app. Find out details at sportsnet.ca/590. So again, that's you and a chance to be a part of the Rogers Hometown Hockey Viewing Party coming up this Saturday. Jonesy, as I noted a little bit earlier in the show, the way that the schedule is kind of coming fast and furious for the Raptors and has been for quite some time, knock on wood here, I certainly don't want to be the one to jinx. I'm literally, folks, I got the table in front of me and a little side table here as well. I'm knocking on it right now as we speak. The Raptors have been able to navigate their way through the season thus far without any issues as it relates to COVID-19, to the pandemic, unlike many other teams that have had some struggles. That said, the NBA has sort of, like the folks in Major League Baseball, done a decent job of finding their way through it. Again, a couple of teams, much like in baseball, that had early season struggles and issues and kind of had to navigate their way through things. But as we look down now, and I'm not going to read through every single team, but 31 games for the Sixers, 32 games for the Nets, 31 for Milwaukee, 29 for the Pacers, 31 for the Raptors. Most teams are right in that wheelhouse where – when we get to that second half of the season, there is not going to be as many makeup games as perhaps a lot of people envisioned the possibility of there being. So, you know, we could be finishing fairly close to on time and not having the chaos that some folks thought could come in the final, you know, 2.5-3 months of the season. I don't know if we've got Jonesy still or not, but we'll bring Jonesy back into the conversation in a couple of moments as I bring into the chat right now Sportsnet analyst, former NBAer Alvin Williams. Al, thanks for the time today.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Hey, Al, one thing I want to hit you with right off the bat before anything else, just to kind of put a bit of a bow on a conversation we were having moments ago. The situation involving Chris Finch, now former Raptors assistant coach, being an assistant for the Raptors last night in the midst of a big win over Philadelphia, and in the hours after the game, he is suddenly the new head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Not an interim deal, but long-term and the full-time coach with a brand-new contract and everything else. Kind of a strange situation, though, to be sort of almost announcing Ryan Saunders' firing and Chris Finch's hiring all in one breath on the same night that Finch was just working with Toronto.
Yeah, it is. It was awkward to me. I don't know the rules and everything, of course, clearly. But, it was an eye-opening situation that I don't know how it went about. I don't know. Usually it's like an interview process. I know you have your interim coaches that usually you might move up or transition, you know, during that season. Then you have your interview process. But it's a little weird. I'm not sure what else you can say about that.
Al, Eric and I have been tossing it around. A lot of people have been talking about the Raptors and looking at them a couple weeks ago. And, you know, do you kind of throw this season out the window, at which point we thought it was way too early? We're approaching the halfway mark now, and Toronto's right there. They're in the mix. They're, you know, they're top four, five. They're improving. They're getting better. I think guys are falling into better role definition. The chemistry's coming. So put your GM hat on here, Al. Do you kind of go forward with what you have, banking on internal improvement? Or are you willing to kind of take a chance with a piece on your roster that you know is a good piece to move to try to get what potentially could a better piece? Is the devil you know better than the devil you don't? Or is the devil that you might get going to be better than anything you have?
Yeah, since you put it that way, I'm always looking at the future. It seems like, you know, Raptors are going to have to make some decisions now, and then, you know, at the end of the season, you have, expiring contracts. You have to look at, you know, what else that you can bring to put around the commitments you made to the younger guys, you know, OG, Fred, and Pascal, so even Chris Boucher. So, and I think all those pieces are right where you want them to be. Now it's about who do you put there. And now you have a Kyle Lowry who, you know, I hate talking about it like that, but that's something you really have to consider and revisit because you don't want to lose Kyle for just anything, right, for nothing. So you gotta consider those things for the future. So with this current team, I would definitely be looking at the future and what I could bring in and keep these pieces that I've committed to and keep enhancing the overall projection of the team.
Speaking with Alvin Williams, Al, we kind of went down this road a little bit, I guess, when we chatted last week with you, but I'm going to do it again. And I'm asking you, as a guy who's been there as a player, you've been there as a coach, you've worked on the management side as well. Everything you were just saying about Kyle, this is something Jonesy and I addressed earlier in the show. Is there a case to be made for, and this is maybe why the question and answer is not clear, is there a case to be made for, as much as you just said, you know, maybe you're looking towards the future and looking at what assets you could potentially get, et cetera, is there also a case to be made for a lot of the guys that you thought were available, and not just Giannis, a bunch of other dudes as well, guys that you thought were going to be available next summer, this coming off season, are not available now because they've signed? So is there a mentality that says, well, it's better to stick with what we have and go long term with what we have, what we know, i.e. re-sign Kyle, bring back Norm Powell, rather than trying to go find something else that may or may not fit? Go with what you know fits and what you know works.
Yeah, you look at your own first. You always look at those possibilities, and I always watch teams and see how quick they were to try to re-sign their own guys. If the teams weren't really quick to try to do that, it was something there that possibly that the other teams or people from the outside didn't know. But yeah, Kyle is somebody you gotta consider and make sure that the direction of your team where it currently stands, can we make another push for a championship? Because it's not the old Raptors. This is the championship Raptors, where the expectations and the beliefs are high. And it's not just, you know, going with the flow. It's really putting yourself out there, getting back at that prominent stage of, you know, winning and being that number one team. So, you know, you got to consider that. And if Kyle Lowry or Norm Powell, these guys, you don't see bringing that with this current roster, then you have to be responsible. And it's, you're obligated to make sure you give your team the best situation as possible to get back to that status of winning again. So, once again, you definitely look at Kyle and see how you can bring him back if it makes sense and if it doesn't constrict you from doing anything in the future. But you definitely have to consider it. But you also have to make sure you do what's responsible and best for the organization.
Al, how much, and it's different with each guy, you play to win. You're also playing, let's not mistake the business side of the game. And you know, you're being paid handsomely to play the game. Where's the balance between, I'm going to take a little less money with a chance to win, or no, I can't leave that money on the table, even though, you know, that club might not have the same chance to win that than another one that has offered me less money or the one I'm with now. Where do you, as a player, where do you kind of strike the balance, and how much does your experience play into it? Like, you know what, I've been around 5, 6, 7 years, I've made a lot of money, or I've been around 5, 6, 7 years, and this is my first big deal after bouncing around. Like, how do you weigh that, Al? What, give us your, I mean, it's different for each guy, but give us your own personal take on that.
Yeah, and you just said it. It's different for each guy. For the most part, and I hate speaking generally, I'm thinking players will want the money, right? They of course, you want to win and you want to do things and you play to win. But when it comes down to sacrificing the dollar over a championship that you potentially can get and not guaranteed, then, you know, a lot of people won't go with what they know. Like you said, the devil that I know, right? So I feel like for the most part, the players are going to go for that dollar amount, whether it's a good location or the ideal location or the ideal team. But the dollar is the one that is the driving force for the most part, because the championships, man, once again, everyone comes into the season. It's maybe one or two teams that you already know that's going to win this championship. It's not like anything else. It's pretty much known. And if you're not with one of those teams, they're giving you a chance to win each year and out, then let me go get this money and make sure I compete and try to do what I can do to help our team win. But players are going for that money.
Speaking with Alvin Williams, Al, when you mentioned going into the season, you know, a couple of teams, a handful of teams, here we are now at about the 30, 32-ish game mark for most teams. We're almost at that halfway point of the 72-game season. Who are those teams this year? And in a longer-winded question here, you know, from a Raptors perspective, we've certainly talked about the fact that there doesn't seem to be a lot of teams in the East that are scaring you. Certainly Brooklyn's coming on right now. They're playing some extremely great basketball, but they don't seem to play a lick of defense. Philadelphia, okay, they're good. I don't know if they're great. They're good. Milwaukee's good. Pacers, Celtics. Like, I don't know if there's anybody scaring you in the East. And then I look in the West, and are we just waiting for the Lakers to kind of do their damage come postseason again when LeBron takes it up to another notch? I know they're playing without AD right now. The Clippers, again, good, but maybe not as great as a lot of people were anticipating this year. The Utah Jazz, are they going to come back down to earth? Are they really, you know, the championship contender right now? Like, who's the team this year, or who are the handful of teams that we're saying, like, yeah, those are the ones?
Yeah, it's so much uncertainty, because whether it's due to, you know, the status that we're in, you know, as a country, or the players not even playing. Certain rosters are, you know, you have AD, he's not playing, so you don't have a full throttle yet, and he's going to be out for a bit. You look at the Nets, and KD's not playing, so it's still hard to say who's going to be what. But your Utah Jazz is playing the most consistent basketball. But once again, and I think if we look at the Clippers last year, how they collapsed in the playoffs. So you really have to wait and see. Even the top teams, anything can happen. Milwaukee Bucks are not playing great right now. Boston Celtics not playing great. But we looked at all these teams as being potential teams that could come out of the East. The Sixers are playing very consistent basketball. The Raptors are coming around. So it's just so much uncertainty. To answer your question, it's hard to point out, but a lot of times it boils down to what teams have the best players. So you always look at the Lakers and see how they're going to come about, and then you got to go with the Brooklyn Nets for right now because they have the best players, and just see how those teams will start to generate some energy and some consistency behind winning. But if you look at the NBA, you know, historically, they always the teams with the best players and how they fit, those are the ones that's going to win championships at the end of the day. So I'm still looking at the Lakers or Brooklyn Nets of one of those teams coming out of the East and West.
Al, last one for me. What do you make of the Paul George situation last night where he was on a minutes restriction, he was tearing it up, but he sat the last 2-3 minutes of the game?
At the minute restriction thing, man, I get it. I get exactly what they're trying to do. I get the sports science. I get what they're trying to be, you know, proactive and making sure someone's ready for the most important time of the season. So, you know, they put those numbers down before the game and before sometimes by the week of how much they're going to have players exert energy and all that type of stuff. And so you have to stick to it. I was here with the Sixers when we were going through it, when they were going through it with Joel Embiid. And Joel Embiid could only play about 21 minutes a game, and then it would ramp it up a little bit more. And there were times where he was rolling and the Sixers was trying to get a win, and then he would have to come out. And it's a real thing. So I understand what it's been, and those doctors are making the call. So those doctors are not going to have a feel of if this is the right time in a game to take him out. Once we set this number, this is the number he's playing. So the people that are making the call, they have no concern about X's and O's. They have no concern about the feel of the player. And how they know what they have to do and what they put in place to make sure this player is healthy as they have be for the end of the season. So I understand it. I'm not a big fan of it, but I definitely understand how they're going about it.
Hey, Al, listen, we appreciate the time as always, man. Thanks for doing this, and we'll be speaking again soon. All the best. Stay safe.
Thanks for having me, guys. All right, Jonesy, I didn't get to say hi with you first when you first on. I wanted to say hi, brother.
All good, man. Always great to have you on, Al.
There is Alvin Williams, former Toronto Raptor and longtime NBAer, of course, analyst and colleague with us here at Sportsnet. Well, we're going to keep it around here then for the next couple of minutes and continue to roll as we get you set for Writer's Block at the top of the hour. I would have kept Alvin a couple more minutes then. But listen, the fact that that Paul George, as you brought up with Al,
that's interesting. Yeah.
I guess it started, Jonesy. I mean, people will look back to what happened with Kawhi Leonard with Toronto a couple of years ago, and as this is, you know, kind of began the, I don't know if it's fair to call it the slippery slope, because I thought the league, Jonesy, attempted to step in the offseason to try and curtail when guys were resting and off nights and rest nights, and now maybe teams are trying to find a way to circumvent around what the league is doing by, you know, saying, all right, well, my guy's going to play, but I'm going to keep a minute restriction then. I'm going to rest him a certain amount of time and find that rest within a game if you're going to force me to have that guy play.
Yeah, and there was one years and years ago with Michael Jordan. I remember that same thing where it was, you know, he was on a 28-minute restriction and he played 28 minutes and 4 seconds and they took him out. It was the end of the game and it was just – it created a big issue where he wanted to be in the game and it was close to playoff time. And, you know, the game had a huge bearing on if they would be in the playoffs. So I understand the minute restriction, but was 2 more minutes going to hurt Paul George? I don't know. Was 2 more minutes going to hurt him? And the way was playing to potentially give his team a win, I don't know. Maybe that's when you get hurt, when you surpass the minute limit. And we always talk about fatigue and mistakes that are made out of fatigue and that's when injuries occur. I get all that. But the guy is a professional. Do you not weigh that? And it just seemed like the answers from Ty Lue and from Paul George after talking about it were along the same vein. Like, hey, look, if we had our choice, he would be in there.
Yeah, yeah. And they're an interesting team as well, Jonesy, when we look at the Clippers, because and listen, they're the ones that are always, you know, most closely linked to it. I don't even know if it's fair to call it a rumor, but the conversations, the speculation, the fantasy, the what if of whether it's the Raptors or somebody else, the Clippers need a point guard. The Clippers could really use an upgrade at the point position. That's their one missing piece. You wonder what might become of that team if they don't get that missing piece. If they don't win a championship this year, assuming it's championship or bust, what becomes of that team very quickly? Because, you know, we weren't talking about long deals for Kawhi, long deals for Paul George, and they gave up a king's ransom for Paul George as well. If they don't take advantage this year and actually go do it, you know, are those guys going to want to lock in long term? Are they looking to go elsewhere, or are they just simply happy to be in Cali and the weather and proximity to family, et cetera? They're an interesting case study, because I think the Lakers are going to be the Lakers. They're going to always have, you know, interest because, hey, playing for the purple and gold, let alone playing alongside LeBron. But, man, the Clippers, it could be a real quick downward spiral if they don't get the job done.
Yeah, they better hope that they make some a little more noise than they did last year, Eric.
Well, listen, folks, it was an interesting one, to say the least, today. But pandemic problems, I think we've had a pretty good batting average on this show over the course of the last 8-9 months. But you know, we stayed in the box and took a longer lick today a couple of times. We're going to be back better and stronger tomorrow as well. Thanks to Alvin Williams for joining us today, and Writer's Block is coming up next. It's been Smith and Jones on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.